Thank you. It's an incredible story. It's the story of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead. And in that passage that you just read, we find some incredible words. The words are going to come up on the screen if the slide comes up there. Great, thank you. The words that we read in verse 6, incredible words. Hopefully they'll come up in a moment. These are the words that we saw in verse 6. He has risen. We sang about that in our opening song this morning. This glorious truth that Jesus was no longer dead, but he is risen and he was back to life again. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this great truth that Jesus is alive, changes everything. This truth that he has risen makes a huge difference. Lots of differences. But this morning what we're going to think about five differences that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this truth that he has risen, makes for our lives. Five big differences. Hope you can take these five differences with you and remember them as well. This is the first one we're going to think about this morning. Because Jesus has risen, I wonder if any of the boys or girls could read those words in the bottom out for me. Because Jesus has risen, somebody able to shout that out for me. All shy. Alice, you going to go for it? Brilliant. Because Jesus has risen, he must be the Son of God. When Jesus lived here on earth, he looked exactly like us. He had two arms, he had two legs, he had hair, he had a nose, he had eyes, he had a mouth. He just looked like any other human being. But Jesus Christ was different. Jesus Christ was special. And the reason Jesus Christ was special, the Bible tells us, is because he was the Son of God. The Bible wants us to grasp this great truth, that Jesus was unique, that Jesus really was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. When Jesus lived here on earth, although he looked like us, he did so many incredible things. One day the Bible says he was near some water, the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says that Jesus started to walk on top of the water. He didn't start to sink, he didn't start to drown. He kept walking on top of the water. Nobody else could do that. Jesus could do that because he was special. Jesus could do it because he was the Son of God. Another occasion, he met a blind man. He took his hands, he put them across the blind man's eyes. Again, the man could see. He could do that because he was the Son of God. We're all familiar with that familiar story, how he fed a crowd of over 5,000 people with just one boy's packed lunch. Nobody else could do it. Jesus could do it because he was special. He was the Son of God. And the Bible is just full of proof upon proof that Jesus was unique. But the greatest proof, the ultimate proof that Jesus was the greatest person who ever walked on planet Earth, that Jesus really is the Son of God, happened that first Easter Sunday when they said, he has risen. This is no ordinary man. He's come back to life again. And the resurrection is vital for us because it proves to us that Jesus is special, that he's the Son of God. If Jesus hadn't risen, he'd be like just the rest of us, an ordinary human being. But the resurrection makes the big difference. Because Jesus is risen, he must be the Son of God. So that's the first thing. The second one, because Jesus has risen, we can put our faith in him. Jesus claimed to be the Savior. He claimed to be somebody different. That's the reason Jesus Christ came into the world, to be our Savior. And we thought about that on Good Friday. We thought about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for all the wrong things that we have done so that we could be forgiven. But if Jesus was still in the tomb, if Jesus was still dead this morning, what kind of Savior could he be for us? How could he forgive our sins if he was dead? How could he change our lives? How could he make any difference to us if he was still dead in the grave? But because Jesus Christ is alive, he's a living Savior. And because he's living, we can put our faith and our trust in him that he can forgive us, take away our sins, and change our lives as well. We can put our faith in him. Do you know, at the age of 7, I realized that. I realized that Jesus died for my sins. But I also realized that he was alive and he could do something about it as well. And so I could pray to him and ask him to be my Savior, and I could put my faith and trust in him. Because Jesus is risen, we can put our faith in him. But not only does it say we can put our faith in him, we should put our faith in him. If Jesus really is alive, if he really is the Son of God, he loved us. and died on the cross for our sins, then not only can we put our faith in him, we should put our faith and trust in the living Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first one, because Jesus is risen, he must be the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, we can put our faith in him. But here's the third one. Because Jesus is risen, we have hope for the future. One day, all of us are going to die, unless Jesus Christ comes again. One point, all of us are going to die. We don't know when that's going to be. Could be at a very young age, could be a middle age, it could be an old age. Death is something that's inevitable for all human beings who live here on earth. And death is something which is very sad. If you've lost a loved one, it's a dreadful time. It's a time of sadness. It's a time of tears. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a huge difference. It actually gives us hope for the future. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote about this in the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's talking about the resurrection and the difference that the resurrection makes. And he tells us that death has lost its sting. Maybe the boys and girls, or maybe some of the older ones as well, maybe you're scared of wasps or bees. My older sister is terrified of wasps. If you ever see a wasp in the room with my sister, you'll see her doing a strange dance as she tries to jiggle and get away from it. Totally terrified of wasps. And what she's terrified of is that sting, in case it stings her. And Paul used that kind of image, that death had lost its sting. Why we might be afraid of death? There's nothing to be afraid of. It's as if the sting has been taken away. Nothing to be scared of anymore. Because Jesus Christ and his resurrection makes the big, big difference. Jesus said these words in John's Gospel, in John 11. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live." That's the hope. It's the hope we have. That even though we might die here on earth, there is life after this. Because Jesus Christ is alive. If Jesus had never risen from the dead, well, that hope would be gone. But because Jesus is alive and he promises that same everlasting life to his followers, we have this hope and confidence that this world is not the end. There's something beyond the grave because Jesus Christ is alive. Now, the most famous verse in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. I wonder if any of the children here this morning could say John 3:16 for it. Anybody know the words? Okay, Josie's got her hand up. Go for it. Nice loud voice so people can hear around you. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And at the end of it, it talks about if we believe in him, we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's only true because Jesus Christ is alive. That would be meaningless. How could we know we have everlasting life if Jesus was still dead in the tomb? So because Jesus is risen, he must be the Son of God. We should put our faith in him. We have hope for the future. Here's the fourth one, because Jesus is risen, he can help his followers. Josie and Ruby read from Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus rose again from the dead. If they had read on, we would have read the part of the story where Jesus appeared again to his followers, his disciples. He appeared to them before he ascended up to heaven. But before he went to heaven, he gave them these words. He said, "I will be with you always." Even though he is in heaven now, he's still with his followers. He's still with Christians. He made this promise. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If Jesus was dead, how could he do that? But the fact that we have a living Savior, he can help us. He helps us. He is with us. He is with his followers. He's with us through the Holy Spirit who he's sent. And he lives in the hearts and lives of Christians. Life's not always easy. Life has got difficulties. But Jesus gives us this wonderful promise, "I will be with you always." And it only makes sense because Jesus Christ is alive. So because Jesus is risen, he must be the Son of God. We can put our faith in him. We have hope for the future. He helps his followers even today. And here's the fifth and the final one this morning. Because Jesus is risen, we should go to church. That might seem a strange one for you. Is this the pastor trying to keep the seats full? Why has he slipped this one in? But it makes a huge, huge difference. If Jesus Christ was not alive, there'd be no point for us being here this morning. Close the doors and go home. It'd be a complete waste of time. But Jesus calls people to be his followers. He says, come, follow me. He calls people to be Christians. But he doesn't want us to be a group of individuals. Individuals who just stay on our own. Jesus' great plan for his followers as Christians is to meet together as local churches. To gather together. That's his plan if we read the Bible. He doesn't want us to be individuals who just stay in our own house. He wants us to gather together as local churches. And when we gather together, we worship a living Savior. And so already this morning we have stood up and we have sang songs. We're going to sing some more songs later on as well. And we sing these songs because we want to praise and worship Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was still dead, pointless. Waste of time singing these songs. And we pray. I prayed early in our service. We prayed to God the Father. But at the end of my prayer, I said, we pray in Jesus' name. That's how we're taught to pray. We pray through the name of Jesus. But if Jesus was dead, we couldn't pray through Jesus to our loving Heavenly Father. We have a reason to come here and sing. We have a reason to gather together and pray because Jesus is alive. We listen to God's word as it's read and it's explained to us as well because we want to follow Jesus, want to live for him. Be pointless if Jesus Christ wasn't alive. There are other things we gather together to do as a church. One of the things we do as we gather together as a church is we baptize people. It's a very special thing that we're commanded to do in the Bible, that when people put their faith and trust in Jesus, when they become Christians, they are baptized to see that they belong to Jesus. Maybe for the children here, you've watched a baptismal service, as we've had some in the past here. We open up the floor here and we fill it with water and people go underneath the water. There's special symbolism in that. It's a wonderful picture of what Jesus does in the lives of people. I wonder, can anybody explain what's happening? What's it a picture of as somebody goes underneath the water and then comes back up again? Any of the children know? I'm glad I brought you, Josie. Right, go for it. What's it a picture of? Okay, so it's a picture of going underneath the water, being buried with Christ, and then rising again to new life. That's a picture of the difference that Christ has made with us, where our old life is dying, and we rise again to the new life that Jesus Christ has given to us. If Jesus was not alive, we'd be able to put people under the water, but we couldn't bring them back up again. But we have a reason, this brilliant picture, baptism, because Jesus Christ is alive. Another thing that we're commanded to do and to meet together as a local church is to observe the Lord's Supper. And we're actually going to do that this morning. We don't often do it with the children in. We did it at Christmas time. We're going to do it again. We think this is good for you to see what happens here every so often as well and to teach you about it and to explain it to you as well. But we come here every Sunday. We meet as part of the church because that is what Christ has commanded us to do, to observe communion, or the Lord's Supper. And when we come to the Lord's table here to take the Lord's Supper, we take some bread, and it reminds us of something special. Another picture, it's a bit like baptism. We meet together, and we take some of the bread, and it reminds us of the body of Jesus that was broken, which died on the cross. And we give thanks for our Savior, that Jesus Christ died for us. And then we take one of these cups with the red liquid in the wine, and we drink that, and it reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ that died on the cross for us. And we remember what Jesus did, that Jesus Christ died for us. But I'm going to read some words now from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. These are words I often read when we take the bread and the wine together at a communion service. Listen to these words. Explains why we do this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we do it because that's what Jesus did, and he taught us to do it as well, and we do it to remember that Jesus died for us. And then it goes on, in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we take the wine and remember Christ's death as well. But did you get that last little phrase I read out? Until he comes. We meet each week and we take the Lord's Supper. We eat the bread and the drink the wine, but we won't always do it. We remember that Jesus died to be our Savior, but we do it until he comes, that the living Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to come someday. And he's going to take all those people who know and love him as a Savior to be with him forever and ever. And we eat this, and as we eat the bread and the wine, we remember what Jesus did, but what he's going to do. The living Savior is going to come one day to take us to live with him forever and ever. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. It tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, that we can put our faith in him. He gives us a hope for the future, tells us that Jesus is with us now, he's here, he's helping us. And it gives us a reason to come to church, a reason to sing songs of praise and worship, a reason to pray, a reason to baptize people into new life that Jesus Christ gives, and a reason to gather together and to take the bread and the wine, remembering a Savior died for us and a Savior who will one day come again for his church. This morning we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember what Christ did, and we're going to look forward for a living Savior coming again for his church.